this club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Sorry for smiling there.
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Ooh, sir, how you doing? How you doing? Best news. We haven't had best news in a while. We are talking about Wolves 1, Manchester United 0, but we're really talking about the cluster F that is Manchester United at the moment, sir. We have more fallout than you and I have ever seen in our time as a Manchester United fan. Probably since this club's been around, there hasn't been this many pranksters, phonies, leopards, not changing their spots or whatever it is. The rot goes deep. Executive team, owners, front office, and some of the players too, it appears. But I think it's going to get a whole lot worse before it gets any better.
Sir, there's only one term, bluffers. Roy Keane famously said it, you know. At this time, look, first of all, Happy New Year to all American Red Devils around the world. You know, this community is a bright spot for this club. I'm gonna give you guys a big shout out. I hope everyone has a great 2022. You know, as far as 2021 goes, sorry for smiling. I think that's the quote that sums it up there. Anytime you bring in your former all-star in Ronaldo and you think you're winning the title and you're going to be in an exciting title race and Manchester United are back, baby, and then you end up firing your manager 2 months in, everyone's got to take a little moment to just reassess where we're at. And right now, it's not great. Rangnick coming in, like, yeah, 30-minute new manager bounce. Never
not
seen
even.
That.
We not got, even.
No, it was 30
Didn't
minutes.
Lost the game. Didn't even
Crystal
lost the game.
Palace, Crystal Palace, we got 30 minutes of new manager bounce, and it's been dead cat ever since then. As far as what's going on with this club, we have COVID outbreaks, sir. Lots of fixtures coming fast and furious. Now you see the fans. It's like United. The problem with United fans in the social media era and the clickbait era, just bubbles up. They got to find someone to throw shade at. And right now, their English press throwing heat at Rangnick. They're throwing heat at the players. And you got to be shining the light at the Glazers, right? You know, they're really the ones to blame here. They're the ones why we have the highest wage bill. Second highest wage bill, I think, of all time. And we got that product on the field at the end of the day. Rangnick's trying to put the pieces together, but he hasn't had time. They brought in a club builder for arguably a win now roster, if you look at who we got and who's not going to be here next year. So square peg, round hole, and you don't bring Rangnick in to turn around the ship in a month. You bring Rangnick in to turn it around over 5 years. Right. And I think that's the vision the board isn't communicating to us. Obviously, Ed Woodward and co. don't like to communicate to us. The last thing we heard from him, he's resigning last year. He's still here. So, again, a jumbled mess from Manchester United, from the board on down. And at the end of the day, you got to feel a little sorry for Rangnick, because this dressing room, I've never seen stories like this soon into a manager's tenure. And something tells me it got bad under Ole, probably festered because the board did not act. And they just let this locker room kind of drag on during those really rough fixtures. Like you said, they could have fired Ole after the shitty game, and they kind of let it continue. That can't be good for morale, right? And then all of a sudden you bring in Rangnick, and who knows how the situation's going. Clearly the press is going to just sling mud all over the place. So hard to get a grip, but it's never as bad as social media and the English press will tell you. If you look at our results, we are in the mix for top four, and you have to think Rangnick is figuring things out. He has the CV to do so. So all is not lost at Manchester United. Doesn't look great, but I am hopeful.
Well, we are going at each other on the Patreon pod. Check out Patreon. Join our Patreon. We appreciate all the American Devils, but especially our Patreon members. Win now, manager in Conte, long-term builder in a Rangnick, sir. I don't think this squad's anywhere near good enough to be a win-now team, dude. Look at them fall apart under the pressure. Bring in a new manager, like you said. Even Stevie G giving Aston Villa a bounce. We got, like you said, 30-minute bounce. Never seen anything like that before, and never seen this amount of toxicity be whirled up. But at the end of the day, these are all problems that manifest out of the ownership and the executives. It's like very, very simple. The reason, dude, this has probably gone on since Mourinho, right? Pogba should have been chopped on the block the moment that he tried to make himself bigger than the manager. The Glazers did not address that. They got rid of the manager. They didn't get rid of Pogba. They brought in Ole. He kind of papered over the cracks. Things went sideways again. Didn't get rid of Pogba. Brought in Bruno. Papered over the cracks. Sideways, up, down. Dude, the results were all over the place. But at the end of the day, it's like there is no continuity. There is no plan as it relates to Rangnick versus Conte versus this year versus next year versus last year, because they have no fucking plan, because they're just figuring out as they go along, because they're faking it, dude. They're the biggest fakers of them all. The Glazers have no idea what they are doing, sir. And we talked about this also in the Patreon pod. It's Chelsea and City have been throwing billions at this for over 10 years. And they have no guaranteed success, right? I'm sure Chelsea wanted to win more titles over that time. I'm sure City wanted to win a Champions League over that time. And we have numpties doing it, sir. And we're expecting things that turn around in 6 weeks. It's been 4 weeks. Dude, this guy's going to need 4 years. This club is, we're miles off. And that's fine. Because this team, this club, the fans, we've got it. We can get through the dark days. But we need to be honest with ourselves about where we're at and why we're there. We're not there because of Ralph Rangnick. We're there because of Joel Glazer, his dad that bought it, and they're the ones running the club for the last 18 years. They've run into the ground. We're one of the most mismanaged clubs in sport, let alone football, let alone English football, sir. And we're going to suffer as long as they are the owners of this storied club, sir. That's it. Simple as that. We ain't winning really anything of significance until they leave. We're not. FA Cup, maybe. Europa League, maybe. Let's go to Kazakhstan, because that's where we're playing next year.
Hey, you know, Conference League's a possibility, sir. You know,
saying this, Jess.
Nothing's off the table. Look, yeah, I honestly think that it's time for us. So, obviously, as United fans, you know, are Manchester United fans ever happy with a non-challenging title team? Like, no, I don't think so. And I don't think we should be. You know, the amount of years we have, like, the amount of years we have competed for the title past January is one, and that, and we blew that shortly after, and that was last season. You know, as far as where the board should be focused, that's what they should be focused on. They are missing the mark there, but there's a lot of key decisions that they have made. You know, one being the wage bill, right? You have hugely inflated wages for Manchester United, sir. You have these legacy contracts. Instead of signing young upcoming talent, you're signing Cavani's day late, dollar short transfer policy, where you're not addressing known vacancies in the squad. Like, instead of getting another center back in, you're extending Eric Bailly to save the transfer fee. Practices like this that have yielded a squad that is totally out of balance, right? Not having a director of football until a year ago, promoting somebody from within who, you know, honestly has no world-class director of football experience. These are the types of moves that show you the ownership don't know what they're doing from a footballing perspective. And it probably makes sense why they don't know what they're doing, is because commercially they're doing fine. So the football moves are really adding up. And I think all this kind of dead weight, like you said, backing Paul Pogba over Mourinho. We just saw the Chelsea situation. Lukaku came out, apologized. I mean, clearly Chelsea's board has to back Tuchel in that situation for that to occur. I just think tons of mismanagement at this club has yielded this culture in the locker room where everyone's getting paid too much money, sir. We've heard the rumors around Rangnick coming in, trying to get them to work, and it's kind of festering, and now it's coming out. It's taken so long, and this is something we're going to see. But the light at the end of the tunnel is, hey, if the board somehow stumbles into Rangnick being the guy to figure out what to do for the long-term future of Manchester United, that is a positive, right? Because this is a man who knows what he's doing. He knows how to build clubs, and right now we need a club builder. That's where we are as Manchester United. It is rebuild. Manage the damage and rebuild. And hopefully we're at the low point here. Rangnick should be figuring this out. We should be playing better football than we are. He's definitely not made every correct decision coming into Manchester United. But you got to give him time. and reassess. So it's going to be this to the end of the season. And boy, I hope we start playing some attractive football, because I've been waiting for that for a long, long time. That's all we want to see at Manchester United. Phil Jones coming on. We've been laughing at him for 2 years.
Shout out.
By the way, that guy knows what it means to play for Manchester United. And guess what? It stood out. You could tell. You could tell he has a whole different view of what it means to play for this club and how you should be playing on that pitch.
Quick word on Phil Jones.
Yeah,
respect, man. Respect.
Dude, he's the only one that came out in that field with a point to prove, and he proved it. Dude, he looked great. He went out there, right? The midfield exposed him all fucking day, especially in that first half. Jesus, we got a little bit better in the second half. But he looked great. He looked like he was like putting it in there, putting in a shift, something to prove. I mean, he's not, dude. He had tons of injury problems. He made a lot of mental gas, but physically, he had his day. He played pretty good as a center back, and he came in and played great. So, like, hey, he's won fucking titles under the greatest manager of all time. Half these jokers haven't, more than half. Only Ronaldo and De Gea. The rest, dude, bluffers, mate. Bluffers. Some of them are, but there are a shit ton of bluffers. And they're probably not even playing. And they're the ones running their mouth the most, the agent. I know Martial is. I know Lingard is. I know Pogba is, because he never stops. So it's like, just, it's going to take time. I think we just need to be honest with ourselves as fans. And I think we've been all asking for you know, 2 decades. The Glazers should be honest with us about where we're at. Arsenal, dude, they've been doing that. They've learned from the Super League fiasco. They've actually been communicating with fans, making improvements, putting football and people in the front office. Sir, I don't know, man. I want to go all in a Rangnick, but I feel like the board are going to bottle that too. And they're going to pull out. Fans are going to get pissed. We didn't play great football. We didn't make it miracle overnight. Putting in Pochettino. I don't know.
Sorry, it's bubbling. It is. But obviously, you can't listen to the plebeians. That's what we are. We're the biased fans on the couch. Sir, we don't get paid the big bucks to manage one of the biggest football clubs in the entire world. So I would say the biggest football club in the entire world. But, you know, we could do a lot of improvements as far as who's the CEO, who's the director of football, et cetera. You know, you could hire some, you know, guys with some great CVs. They could work with Rangnick. Rangnick could be the director of football. I think there's a lot of options for this club, but you just need the owners to be motivated to fix it, because I think we're using, like, the blueprint is the Sir Alex blueprint. You know, big money English signings, that blueprint is like 10 years old. You know what I'm saying? Like, the way we run this club is like not a modern day football club top to bottom. It's just like we're stuck back in the Sir Alex era. Obviously that worked then, but you have to innovate. And to hire a director of football a year ago and have it be Murtaugh is a fucking joke, mate. I mean, it's just, this is the type of ownership that we're dealing with. And we have to keep our eye on that, because it's #GlazersOut always. It should always be that way. They don't hear us because their revenue, they're cooking, and they're not worried about us fans. They do not care. And somehow we need to band together and make our voices heard, because this whole fan forum thing with Joel Glazer is a joke. He didn't show up to the last one. They're not communicating with fans. You know, you saw the protest at Old Trafford. That actually made them move, and then they've taken a step back since. So this season, how is everyone feeling? I mean, I'm not feeling too great about it, so I think maybe protests are the way to go for the Glazers, and maybe they'll listen, because I haven't seen the new stadium plan. I haven't seen everything that they promised us, sir. I think they're just trying to get that dividend. Quick PSA for the podcast, sir. If you like the American Red Devils, you like the hot banter here on the podcast, when the lows are low, sir, we're going to be slinging it from the couch here. You want to support us? The best way to do so is via Patreon. We think in 2022, this is the best way you can support us. We just do it ourselves. Everything, like Alex says, we mail out stickers, pins, scarves, shirts, you name it. We do it all. This is a small-time operation. We want to keep it that way. We have no sponsorships on the podcast. You want to support us, please check out our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. Also, check out our website, www.AmericanRedDevils.com. We have some great fan-generated blog content. Also, some merchandise. If you click on store, we got hoodies, beanies, pins, stickers, scarves, shirts. We got everything, sir. Blankets as well to keep you warm through the winter. It is cold here in Northern California, sir. I've gone soft since I left Jersey. Tell us about iTunes reviews.
Sir, everybody goes soft when they leave Jersey. iTunes reviews, great way to support the pod and a great way to get us found organically by other Manchester United fans around the world like yourselves. This is all you have to do. Write a 5-star review on iTunes. If it's got cheeky banner, even better. We love that. Sometimes we read it on the pod. And send a screenshot to AmericaRedDevils@gmail.com with your mailing address, and I will personally pick, pack, and ship something straight to your house. Great way to support the pod. Doesn't cost anything at all. If you've written one, do another one. I won't tell anyone. I won't tell, what's his name? The billionaire guy that runs Apple these days. But either way,
Tim Cook,
he's doing good. He's making a lot of money. Support the pod. Doesn't cost any money. Write a review, sir. America Red Devils. How we doing? 2022. It's going to be a big year for us. This team. We feeling good? We win the Champions League?
It doesn't have to be iTunes reviews. Spotify just added reviews. You can do it on Spotify. You can do it on Google. Wherever you listen to your podcast, you rate us 5 stars. You send it in. We will send you stickers. And they're awesome stickers at that. So, sir, let's get into this amazing match. One that I rewatched today just so I had my notes ready to go here. Manchester United 0, Wolves 1, Old Trafford. Sir, we've seen this movie before. I think we've lost to Wolves by one many times. Starting 11 here. Let's get into it. Dave Saves World number one in net. Luke Shaw at left back. Philly Cheesesteak Jones at center back. Varane, Wan-Bissaka, Matic, McTominay, Sancho, Greenwood, Ronaldo, Cavani up top, sir. Oh, what do you make of that lineup?
I mean, you know, shout out to Phil Jones.
I mean,
shout out to Phil Jones.
You know.
You see him, you're like, ah, this is a joke. But you know what? He played better than most of the people on the field. You ask the questions, is like, where's Donnie? You would have thought, like, it's starting to get a little worrisome. Maybe some COVID impact. Maybe he had it. Fred, too. I would have thought he would feature today. And I was very surprised to see Cavani and Ronaldo start again together. But what did you think when you saw the starting 11, sir?
I thought this 11 would be fine if we were playing them away. Since we were playing them at home, I think you need to be on the front foot a little more. That's why Modish, McTominay, I don't think those two are going to really link the attack, and Sancho, Greenwood, Ronaldo, Cavani. You know, I think you got to have either Donnie in there or, you know, even Bruno, sir. You know, someone needs to link the play a little bit. Like you said, you have two great strikers up top, but if you can't get them the ball, what is the point here? I just saw a gaping hole in the middle of the park, and Wolves, you've seen Matinho, Neves. We've seen them do it before in the middle of the park at Old Trafford, sir. The wing backs are ruthless. They're going to pull it back to the top of the box. They get a lot of opportunities. They had those. I mean, dude, we know that that's how they're going to play. And then when you have Matic and McTominay dropping back into the back line with the center backs, it opens up that space. I don't think Rangnick got it right. Honestly, I don't think he got the starting 11 right, and I think it showed right from the jump, sir. You want to jump into that first half?
Hey, it was apparent that Wolves came out the better side in that first half. They were coming at United in wave after wave, and every chance United had, we just did not seem to be on the same wavelength. 8th minute, Sancho squandered a great chance, but selfishly doesn't pass the ball to Ronaldo, and it was a good opportunity. Then Dave putting under some real pressure, saving twice after actually Jones did well, but United looking out of sorts to invite all types of pressure from the Wolves' attacking side. Sir, like you said, it's always one in the middle of the park against Wolves. They play a shit ton of players in the midfield. I think they were playing 5 players in the midfield at one point. And having players that aren't as possession-based and can pass through the line, you know, a la Donnie, I don't know what he's doing. But anyway, wasn't great. 20th minute, great cross to AWB, but Ronaldo couldn't quite connect. There was a lot of that going through AWB to Ronaldo. Wasn't quite working. 34th minute, great chance for Cavani, but he had a heavy touch. It was not a good day for Cavani. I was very surprised to see him start 2 games within a week. 35th minute, Ronaldo gives the ball to Wolves, but Jimenez squanders it. And then again, sir, there were some chances, but United had chances, and we kept tripping over ourselves. 43rd minute, Cavani blows a great chance to pass to Greenwood, and he just blasts it over the bar. Like, that was a bad end, dude. That was a bad end for a player. You know, you give Ronaldo that off, but Cavani's got to be passing that ball to Greenwood.
Absolutely, and the key thing is Wolves just outshooting us like crazy. We didn't have a shot on target for a long time. We only had one at the end of the day. In the first half, nothing doing, completely outclassed by Wolves midfield. Obviously, McTominay and Modric, they were drowning. This comes to the McTominay, great game against Burnley, comes into Wolves, and it's the consistency. But he's a young player. You have to expect it. I mean, if he's a general to run the midfield at Manchester United, yeah, we might have been all right in this game. But he had a poor game, right? And for him and Modric to both get 90 minutes, that's concerning, right? He didn't change it up at all. Rangnick didn't. Obviously, he switched formation at halftime. 45th minute, big block from Phil Jones. But going at half, sir, we look awful. absolutely horrible here.
No, people are saying, you know, one of the worst halves of football they've seen from United. I mean, I feel like we see that every month. You know, how many times have we said that in the last 6 months? Quite a bit. And we've said that.
Hyperbole. That's hyperbole.
I know. But it has been some bad football today. It was bad, and it was like we were not winning the battle in the middle of the park, but I feel like we had so many opportunities to break on them that we just like we gave the ball away so easily, so cheaply. The Sancho one, the Cavani one, those were big chances where I think one of those was a goal, even though it would have been against the break of play, which is not great, but like there were chances. We just we looked out of sorts.
Yeah, but not enough. Totally. You know, like if you're going to play that way, you should be able to generate more, but it's like, you know, I do agree. There were chances, but, you know, they were sparse. They were sparse. Sir, take me through second half.
Second half was better. United came out in control, you know, in terms of just not getting wave after wave of Wolves just ripping at the net. 47th minute, Sancho with a good run, but couldn't quite pick out a right pass. Right after that, Cavani blew another really good ball. He had an AWB coming in on his right. It was not his night for Edison Cavani. I was shocked that he played all 90. Speaking about some of those Rangnick decisions that were probably the poor one, I think that was definitely one of it, having him play the whole game. 60th minute, talk about sub. Bruno come on for Greenwood. Apparently it was going to be Cavani, but Greenwood got a knock. But Bruno, you have to say, he made a pretty big impact when he came on.
He was the difference maker, you know, and you like to see that. Like Bruno got benched. He was sloppy with the ball, and then he comes on and starts creating things for Manchester United. Also, Rangnick changed it up. I think we were with a 3-4-3, and it kind of opened it. We got some control for like 20, 30 minutes here.
We did. We had our chances, and we didn't take those chances, unfortunately. Biggest one, actually, which came after a great block from Shaw to deny Jimenez in the 64th minute, was Bruno at the crossbar after a great pass from Matic. So this was it. This was the goal. This was the stealing one, because he was right there. It was on a plate, and he just slammed it into the crossbar, and that's when I was like, we are cooked. We're going to lose this game.
Game of inches, he buries that, we win. You know we win if he buries that one. And 68th minute, Ronaldo scores, but he's offsides. Another great ball from Bruno. Here you go. You start getting a little nervy. Wolves, 75th minute, hit the bar from a free kick. So that jump from Bruno, you're starting to see Wolves kind of get back into it. 76, Rashford for Sancho. You hoped Rashford. I was like, honestly, I saw this sub. I was like, really? Rashford has been out of form. Brings him on, sir. Didn't play great.
Still out of form.
What is going on with this team? They broke Marcus Rashford.
Everyone's
how
broken.
How can you break Marcus Rashford? Like,
sir,
can you break Marcus Rashford?
Sir, Varane, 80th minute shows his worth. I
how
know.
Can you break Marcus?
Ronaldo,
you broke him.
Cavani. There's so many players in this team, sir. Keep going.
They're broken.
Should we get to the 82nd minute? It's 82nd minute. Here we go. Enjoy it.
Yes. Chamoutinho, 1-0 Wolves. The veteran.
Like you knew it. You knew it. Didn't close down the edge of the box. McTominay or Matic got to be there. Actually, like, you know, Phil Jones got criticized for heading it right to the center of the edge of the box, but actually one of the two midfielders has to be there. They're both like 6'4". Not a great goal to concede.
Not at all. I mean, McTominay drops deep. I mean, I felt like this is, you know, we've seen this goal so many times where we're like playing schoolyard defending. Everyone's kind of running down to the touch line and then like the pullback's wide open. I've tweeted out that shot of like someone scoring at the top of the box with like so much space. And that's just kind of when you're haggard, you're running around. It's just kind of like positioning, right? Discipline, shutting off. Look, I thought a draw 0-0 would have been good. I predicted that Wolves would beat us. They did. And there you go. Alonga came on for Aaron Wan-Bissaka, and then Bruno got a free kick in the 96th minute. But there you had it. Wolves take us 1-0, sir. Match reaction, the shots, 19 from Wolves, sir. Oh, face still hurts for getting slapped around that much. Shots on target, 6-2. Possession, 48% to 52%. But again, they came to our house. They like Wolves plays, they play a certain way against the top sides. They did not respect us. They came to our house. They bossed us. They went for it. They got it. Match reactions. Manchester United have failed to score in four different Premier League home games this season, already more than they did in the whole of 2021. I mean, you didn't think that could get worse. Wolves have picked up their first away win against Manchester United since February 1980, ending a run of 10 visits to Old Trafford without a win. Wolves had 15 shots against Manchester United in the first half. It's the most on record since 2003. A visiting team has had at Old Trafford in the opening 45 minutes of a Premier League game.
There's more. This is par.
Phil Jones is playing his first Premier League game for Manchester United since January 2020, 712 days ago. It's the longest gap any player hasn't left a club has had between appearances for the Red Devils in the competition. So setting records. And only Watford's Daniel Bachmann is forced into making a save more frequently every 15.7 minutes than David De Gea, 21.4 minutes in a Premier League since Ralf Rangnick took charge of Manchester United. So, look, that's been happening the whole season. David De Gea, he was the player of the month for December. He looks to be Manchester United player of the year again. It's that's why Ole got fired, obviously, because where would we be without David De Gea? So again, it's a positive for me that even though we're our midfield's in shambles, our defense is in shambles, our keeper's not. And by the way, he didn't have a good season the year before, right? So it's good to see him playing well at the very least, and we need it.
So where would we be if De Gea was in his bad form 2 years ago? Remember early in the season how many great games he had?
Where are we, sir? Yes, it is well after Christmas. The table is here. Shiny EPL table Santa delivered. Unfortunately, the news for Manchester United is we are seventh. We have played 19 games. We have 31 points. Tottenham, 18, 33. West Ham, 20 games, 34. Arsenal, 20 games, 35. So as far as Manchester United is concerned, everyone says, listen to this, sir. The sky is falling at Manchester United. We have a game in hand, and we win that. We're 1 point off Arsenal. By the way, Arsenal is the best they've ever been. West Ham is unbelievable. Tottenham, Conte, can't do nothing wrong. And by the way, we're 1 point off, assuming we win our game in hand. Think about that. It's crazy. So for everyone saying we're melting down, it's like, look, we are playing absolute shit football. That's why our manager was fired. We got a new manager. We have a COVID outbreak. Rangnick needs some time to figure out what the hell's going on at Manchester United? And so we got to give them time. But I have to think it's going to get better before it gets worse, sir. I mean, it can't get worse than what we saw. I mean, this is a wake-up call in many different ways. And if Rangnick's not the guy, we're going to find out. But I think that he has a solid CV, and he's got to get this team playing some smart football going forward. You know, and obviously, the fixture breaks are going to be bigger, which I think is good for Manchester United, so he can get some more training in with the team. So let it coalesce over another month. Let Arsenal start bottling it. Let Tottenham start choking like they usually do, sir, and we shall see. I'm not saying the sky's falling just yet. It doesn't look great. The locker room mudslinging isn't great. But if you look at the situation for what it is, given we fired our manager and we could potentially be 1 point off of it, it's not that bad.
It's not that bad when top four is what you're going after, but you know, we want a title.
Fired manager.
No, I agree. No, you're right, sir. You're right. When we did fire a manager, the new goal is top four, and it would be lovely to be in a final or get a piece of silver. Of course, that would be like the ultimate goal is to win FA Cup, Champions League. Ha ha.
We're winning the Champions League.
Yeah, I know.
Prediction for the season.
But all I'm saying is you're absolutely right. Is like if now the top four is the priority, let's keep Ronaldo, let's get the money, and let's just finish the top four because we're better than Arsenal, West Ham, and Tottenham. We have more than half the season left. We still have good players. We should get a couple of these bad apples out in January. I don't think it will happen, but they should. If they have their shit together, they would.
They're not going to do it.
No, they won't.
No one's going to pay for it.
Give them away, bro. You should give them away. You should literally give them
away. Manchester's policy is that their wages have to be paid 100% for them to go on loan. And they're very well paid, so it's going to be tough. At least that's the starting point for Ed Woodward, who's still running this team for some reason. Sir, you got Luke Shaw's interview you want to play?
Hey, ready for this? Here we go. This was a little concerning. Here's Luke Shaw after the match against Wolves yesterday.
Obviously not good enough. I think we really struggled first half. Couldn't get control of the ball. We didn't have many options. But also on the other side, when we didn't have the ball, I don't think we was aggressive enough. We weren't on the front foot. We didn't really put them under any pressure. You know, probably they felt like they were in full control. So it maybe looked like an easy game for them first half, but a very disappointing performance, I think, but also a disappointing result.
So is that how it felt on the ball? Like there just weren't too many options for you to play forward?
Yeah, of course. And I think, look, we know that. I think maybe at times it was clear to see. We didn't have many options on the ball. It felt like we didn't have much of the ball in the first half, to be honest. We wasn't on the front foot. I think it started from the first minute. I think we're at home, our crowd behind us. You know, we have to put some pressure on them. We have to have the intensity. And I think even from the first minute or so, I think we kind of didn't go for them. We didn't pressure them. We sort of sat back and, you know, let them feel at home, let them feel comfortable in the first 2 or 3 minutes, when I think that time's critical, where you've got to put your stamp on the game. And, you know, we need to bring the intensity, especially with, you know, 75,000 people roaring behind us.
So the interview goes on. I'll spare you, but it's a dejected Luke Shaw saying some things that are very concerning as a Manchester United fan, with a new manager coming in, players not playing, giving up, no front foot. It's the alarm bells are ringing, and Luke Shaw is a player that is on the up, that I would figured would be in this team no matter what, in terms of like the starting 11. Like, he was a player that actually turned good of one of the Woodward transfers of the last 9 years, like finally in the last 19 months. But he looks like
he's Luke Shaw is the perfect example of a Manchester United transfer, up and down and all around, and just not consistent enough. Aaron Wan-Bissaka, you got great one. You get one good season, then it's another. So I'm good. Luke Shaw, you get great 1 year, then this year he's off. It's just the ups and downs of just trying to motivate these players. And it's tough. The consistency is key to perform at the top level. Look at Man City. Well, look what those players do year in, year out. Sir. That's what it takes. We don't have that. You know, Harry Maguire has a good year. Harry Maguire has a bad year. It's like Luke Shaw has a good year. It's like up and down. It's just like the consistency is not like McTominay. Great game against Burnley. Horrible against Wolves. This is the problem. We're not consistent. The standards are not high enough. And obviously, in the turmoil that there is, like Shaw coming out saying this, we had De Gea with the sulking comments, Maguire, don't want to make excuses, but it's COVID. These interviews are rough. Just stop. Stop the interviews.
You don't want to hear Ralph? You want to hear Ralph?
Yes.
We got to hear Ralph. Okay, make me feel better, you German prince. Let's hear it.
Hi, Ralph. Would imagine that was a disappointing evening. Could you just explain why your team really was outplayed by Wolves tonight?
Yeah, they were the better team. We have just have to admit that, especially in the first half, we had big problems to stop them from play their combinational football. It was only in very few moments that we could put them under pressure and take the ball away from them. And even if that happened, we gave it away ourselves too easily once again, too many turnovers. And therefore, it was a very frustrating first half for everybody, not only for the staff, also for the players themselves. And that was the reason why we decided to change formation at halftime to a back three and to four central midfielders. I thought in the second half we had more control. We had more situations where we were winning the balls and were in possession of the ball. And then, as it is in a game like this, it's the question who will score the first goal. We had a spell of 15 minutes where we could have scored the first goal. We hit the crossbar. We had the header from Cristiano, unfortunately offside. But then again, the goal that we conceded showed our problems once again defensively. I mean, you cannot allow Traore to, with back to our goal, to turn, and then knowing that he's one of the faster players, gain speed again, get the cross in. Then we defended the cross. Phil had already headed the ball out of the box. But out of the box, around the box, there was nobody who protected the box and could block the shot. And therefore, we gave away a far too easy goal. It was not that difficult for Moutinho to take that shot.
So you can't listen to this man. Simon Stone was just a stupid question, but great answer from the man, Ralph Rennie. You can't listen to this man and not at least be like, all right, let's give him a go. Like, give him a year and a half. give him real influence and control. It's not Ole, Mr. Nice Guy. It's not crazy Iconti. It's like he was just, we played terrible in the first half. I changed formations in the second half. I thought we had more control. You know, gave him margins. Like, he called out what we did wrong. You know, like, giving Traore, turning your back to Traore. It just, dude, he's honest, and we need that. And I think some of these players just can't deal with that and don't want to work hard, can't deal with the honesty. And I just don't think I think that's a big factor of why we're having such an ugly dust-up right now, sir, in real
Blame
time.
Blame the players.
Dude, I think it's like we're seeing it real time because, like, that honesty is not for everybody. You could tell he's not like a bastard, but like he doesn't sugarcoat. He's just very straight and he sees it and he says it like he sees it. And we need that right now, bro, because there are problems everywhere. And the only way we're going to get better is if we point them out and fix them. And I think he has the right aptitude for that. But it's like, is the board going to listen? Are they going to follow through? That's the question.
You need buy in, though. You know, like at a certain level, look, everything's come full circle where, you know, we talked about the Pogba Mourinho battle, Pogba wins, and, you know, players making the huge money wages. And it's like, now you look at this set of players and he's got to figure out how to get something out of this set of players. Now, I do agree that I do like what he says. I like his philosophy, but if ultimately the players don't buy in, this thing goes south, that could be catastrophic for Manchester United. I couldn't imagine that they wouldn't buy in. I don't think the interim title helps Rangnick right now. I don't think the clarity around what he's doing right now from the board helps his situation. So even then, you think of the Ronaldos of the world, right? There is a scenario where you could be like, okay, who's this guy? What has he won? What has he managed? And, oh, by the way, he's only going to be here for 6 months anyway. I'm Ronaldo. Like, what is this guy? Why do I have to listen to him? You understand there could be – I'm not saying Ronaldo is the bad guy. I'm just saying there could be an element of that where Rangnick basically is saying, I don't care who you are. This is how we're going to play. You're going to do this, et cetera. And there could be some friction. Additionally, Rangnick's never dealt with a locker room full of all-stars on the type of wages the players at Manchester United are. He's usually playing like – for example, players who played under him, like Sadio Mane before he went to Liverpool, players who are working for that move away, you're going to get buy-in from them. You're not going to question their motivation in any way. And so I think there's a little element of that with Rangnick. So we're got to see how it plays out. I still think he's got to find his guys and he's got to find the right way to play for Manchester right now. I think he kind of came in, didn't want to ruffle any feathers, kind of stuck to the same starting 11 that was being used under Ole. And then right now he's got to make a big adjustment. Like, now's when the adjustment come. You're playing Villa, FA Cup, make the adjustment, put in new players. He needs to be getting better looks. I just think he's kind of just play Cavani, Ronaldo again, play Matic, McTominay again. These are the types of things that it reminds me of Ole.
Well, he's got to take some chances, and, you know,
exactly.
We gave Ole a lot more time than Ralph has had, but I do agree with you. It's like, after what happened against Wolves at home, in an important match for us to kind of chip up back into the top four battle, sir, as much as it pains me to say that, this is a huge one because this is a cup competition we are in. This is not like as hard as picking up a Champions League, sir. This is like, we could win an FA Cup, and Aston Villa at home, they're on the up, and you know what? Good test for us because we're playing them, I think, a week later. So we're going to get a look at them. And an FA Cup is not an EFL Cup, not some fucking Carabao giveaway. This is a real deal cup, sir. This means a lot. And I think it's starting to have even greater significance once again in the global stage. One of the oldest, I think it is the oldest cup competition in the sport, sir. So great opportunities. Also, like, yes, I think you're absolutely right, sir, in the sense that, like, I think Ralph's honeymoon is... You know, the honeymoons are always shorter at Manchester United. They just are because the standards are higher, expectations are higher, and he's also fighting with one arm behind his back because Glazers. I don't even remember the name of our DOF, sir. Murtaugh, like, come on, dude. We're a bunch of numpties. So, but this is a big test for him because he's got to switch it up because he's been playing the same kind of Ole-esque 11, and now he's got to just – he needs a win. He needs a win right now, unfortunately. Not that we're going to fire Ralph, but, like, he wants to see who could play for him. Who's in it? Who, like, all
yeah,
right.
Yeah, you got to play Donnie, you know. You get
Donnie
what I'm saying?
Fred.
Like, if you're a new manager, you have like a clean slate. You got it. You got it. You're able to put in Jesse. You're able to see all the different looks, and that's what he should be doing. But instead, it feels like he's playing a little scared, at least with Wolves. And we got found out. They knew what we were going to do. They exploited it. It didn't look good. He did make an adjustment. It did help. But I think, you know, he got it wrong against Wolves for sure. And he could have had, if he plays a Delo, if he plays a Donny starting against Wolves, are people going to tear him up as much as they are now? No, because he's trying things. You get that? And it's like, I felt like him being conservative with the midfield too, you know, kind of being stubborn a little bit is why there's so much backlash. But again, big match, sir. Like you said, we got a next match, Manchester United versus Aston Villa. It is the FA Cup. We're playing at home at Old Trafford. You know we're going to lay an egg. Playing at home is so difficult for this squad. I have no idea. And that's the one takeaway from the Wolves game for me. If it was away, totally makes sense. You know, you come out, team's up for it at home. First half, you struggle. You make adjustments in the second. You could steal it.
Full of fans.
They're good sides.
Molyneux's good side.
Totally. If we played like that away, like, you can take that. Playing like that at home, embarrassing. Absolutely. For a club like Manchester United, playing like that at home, that was what I really had issue with. Obviously, we're talking Villa. It's going to be Monday, January 10th, 11:55 Pacific, 2:55 Eastern, sir. Lifetime versus Villa. We've won 101 games, drawn 40, lost 50. First time we ever played them, 1892. Newton Heath versus Aston Villa. We won 2-0 in the first division. In the last five, we've won 3, drawn 1, lost 1, sir. The most recent game in September.
That was before they fired their manager.
Of last year.
Remember that?
Yep. Yep. Came into, where did they come? Old Trafford. They beat us 1-0, just like Wolves. Form coming to this game. They beat Leicester City 2-1. They lost to the Scouse Bastards by 1. They beat Norwich by 2. That's 1 better than us. They lost to Chelsea 3-1, and then Brentford pipped them yesterday 2-1. We obviously play them Monday, so some rest there. Stevie G, Steven Gerrard, you know how the song goes. He gave it to Demba Ba. Founded in 1874, Villa played at their home ground, Villa Park, since 1897. They're one of the founding members of the Football League in 1888 and of the Premier League in 1992, sir. That is a special class. We weren't even one of the founding members, but we were of the Premier League. Villa are one of the 5 English clubs to have won the European Cup, sir, in 81-82. They've also won the Football League First Division 7 times, the FA Cup 7 times, the League Cup 5 times, and the UEFA Super Cup once. So one day we might be like Aston Villa, you know, if the Glazers never sell, we'll just be like talking about how we had all this great success. And
totally. Like if Joel gives it to his kid, yeah, we're really,
yeah, exactly. they have a fierce local rivalry with Birmingham City. The second city derby between the teams has been played since 1879, sir. And the club is currently owned by the NSWE Group, a company owned by the Egyptian billionaire Nassef Sawiris and the American billionaire Wes Eden. So obviously a lot of money behind this club. Stevie G's there. And if you look around the league, a lot of billionaires starting to own clubs. It's getting competitive, and these billionaires want to make moves. It's going to get more competitive for Manchester United, sir. Stevie G's playing the 4-3-3. Keep it simple. I don't know why we don't play the 4-3-3.
I love 4-3-3.
If I was managing Manchester United, I'd be playing the 4-3-3. You know Danny Ings, the goal scorer, sir. He's scrappy as hell. Been around. We were linked to him, actually, at one point. Buendia, Ramsey, Louise. Sir, it's not going to be an easy match. Stevie G's got him pumped up to play. They're playing better than they did under Dean Smith, who, like you said, got fired. Injuries for Manchester United. Martial trying to move. Pogba hanging out in the limo. Maguire, he's got a knock. Eric Bailly, isn't he African Cup of Nations, sir? Or is that not yet?
I don't know. I thought it was coming up in a week.
Okay. And then Lindelof, he had COVID-19. So Bailly says he's out. Under further detail, it says 6-6. So
yeah, I don't know what that is. That's not a good sign.
It must be an error.
That's not a good sign.
So, but again, maybe he's back. Hard to say. I shall figure out when the African Cup of Nations is so we can actually know our stuff here. Given that, sir, what is your lineup?
Sir, FA Cup, let's go Hendo and net. I'm going to do Delow, Bailly, Varane, Telles, Fred, McTominay, Donny, Sancho, Ronaldo, Cavani. No, I'm not going to. That's crazy. I'm going to switch out Cavani for Bruno because they're not going to play Ronaldo and Cavani again.
All right, sir. I'm going to say Hendo in net, Delow, Bailly, Lindelof, Telles. I just looked up at African Cup of Nations, by the way. It kicks off January 9th, so I believe Bailly, this game is actually on the 10th. So
are we losing Bailly and Ahmad?
I believe so, yeah. I don't know. I don't know the specific call-ups, but I would imagine they would be going. I'm going to then have to switch it. Hendo, Delow, I'm going to say Jones, Lindelof, Telles, Fred, Donny, Sancho, Bruno, Ronaldo, and Greenwood. You got to get Donny in the mix. You're playing against Villa. Like, you're playing at home. Like, Donny in the two, I think, is good for playing the ball forward. Then you have Bruno there who can come centrally. Sancho can drift wide. I just like the freedom there. Assuming he's playing the 4-2-2-2, you know, I think this lends itself to a little more creativity, attacking impetus at home. So that's kind of what I want to see. Take some risks, Ralf Rangnick. It's Aston Villa, mate.
I'd love to see that Fred Donny combo. Like, I think we've been calling out for that for since we signed Donny van de Beek, you know, playing even behind Bruno. And it makes the most sense under the way he likes to play, at least in theory. So I'd love to see it. Let's see it, please. Even behind a Sancho, that'd be great, right? Fred Donny, Sancho, Bruno, and then two strikers. What's not to like?
Booking the bookies, Manchester United heavy favorites here, -210, Villa +490 to win, the draw +310. So given those are the odds, what is your score prediction here?
1-0, penalty, Bruno Fernandes. No. Yeah, Bruno Fernandes penalty. You got it. What do you got, sir?
I got 3-1. Bounce back.
Bounce! Hey,
Manchester United, bounce back. Because this team is inconsistent. You see it against Burnley. You get the, oh, no, Newcastle. Then you get the bounce back. Then you get the, oh, no, Wolves. Then you get the bounce back. So, look, we have some easy fixtures. We got some time. We got an international break. Sky's not falling. It is shit. It looks like shit, but... This team is just up and down all around. They got to find something, sir. And I think Rangnick can do it. So I'm got to be optimistic because what am I going to do? Just be pissed off?
Some people are, sir. I'll tell you what.
We still got Champions League.
Wait till the news. There's some mudslinging in the news, my man. Let's hear it.
United in the news. Sir, I'll give you this article. You can run through it.
I'll be quick. Ralf Rift battle. Man United boss Ralf Rangnick battling dressing room rift with some believing certain stars have too much sway on decisions, sir. Now, this is not even verified, but there's been so much noise coming out last week, last 10 days, and then this just dropped today. Sir, you know, call it what you see it. A lot of this is usually just like agent talk. Players that we know have been looking for a move for a while. We've talked about those players. Could be a lot of that. But shambles are the words being used. Players have their own cliques, one of which is making others feel like they need to step up a level when it is the whole team that's struggling. Players are demoralized, deja vu. So I don't know, sir. I'm hearing shambles a lot. You know, we're hearing that like players think that they're just biding their time until a posh gets brought in because a lot of them.
Sir, time out. You missed the best quote. What's so that? Everything is a complete shambles. That's like the.
That's it. That's the full. That's it. Yeah.
So basically, six like, words. Hey, we're going to you in the locker room. What is the state of things? Everything's complete shambles. You know, that Luke Shaw interview. So when you heard that, what was it, Newcastle, then murmurs come out, this bullshit, right? You heard this, oh, the locker room, the da-da-da, lunch. Ronaldo's mean at the lunch table, doesn't like, you know. You know,
seems
like
this, soft, like, bro. This team is
mean,
soft.
Mean girls, like, you know, you got Bruno over there not letting Luke Shaw eat two meat pies. Yeah, exactly. They're just like telling them they're making fun of him because he's chubby. You know, like, and they're ganging up. Like, it's just like this is high school shit. Yeah,
soft
and
here, so like bro. Soft.
It's like, and this comes out, and then like you win Burnley, and then it's fine, and then you lose, and then it comes out again, and. This is just some, this like, sir, this is, some players are not happy. This is coming out. This is players, dude. This isn't Rangnick leaking this.
No, of course not.
Woodward leaking this. This is players whinging, right? When and they're getting called whinge bags, and they are, their representation thinks it's good for them to just like go stir this up in the press to kind of say, hey, first of all, this doesn't help anyone, and leaking things to the press like this doesn't win championships. So whoever's doing this, it's wrong, right? You know, at the end of the day, it's Rangnick to sort out, and this airing dirty laundry isn't good. But this team, it just shows you like the weakness in this side. And when you see the whinging and you see all this, and now they're complaining that Ronaldo's not nice in the lunchroom, you know, it's, dude, come on. Of course he's not nice. He's a maniac. What do you think?
He like takes the skin off chicken, you know. Probably doesn't. Yeah, sir, he's a madman. That's what we need. Madman.
Sorry, he wouldn't.
That's why he's the greatest of all time.
Christmas
sir.
Ham. He wouldn't eat your
sir,
Christmas ham.
He certainly
ham,
would not, sir. He certainly would not. I needed a Christmas ham. Shout out Christmas hams. But you know what? Like you said, this could be a lot of nothing because there's a lot of glut that needs to be cleaned out. That should be cleaned out over the last couple of years. That is, you know, a testament to how poorly this club is managed. But at the end of the day, let's get them out. And then let's see who's legit. Well, who
sir,
are the fakers?
You're missing a quote here. Behind the scenes, the German manager has a reputation for being aloof and overconfident.
Aloof and overconfident, or
aloof and overconfident. That's what the players have openly admitted. The club should have appointed Antonio Conte, and they also expect PSG boss Mauricio Pochettino to take charge in the summer. I mean, this is probably Jesse Lingard, honestly. Like, probably. At the end of the day, like, this type of shit, take it with a grain of salt.
There's so much in this that it has to be, half of it's bullshit, right? It's like, players are demoralized.
No, it's not a great locker. I guarantee you the locker room dynamic's not great.
No.
I guarantee you Ronaldo blames everyone else because he's a maniac and he thinks his shit doesn't stink. I bet you there's some type of mentality to that that, like, I do agree. Like, that is probably hard. Like, Ronaldo's probably not the easiest guy to get along with. You know, like when it comes to like football and stuff,
I don't think so.
You know, so, you know, so, if he's not getting the ball and it's not going his way, like, I don't think he's blaming himself. And I don't mean to like knock Ronaldo. I'm a big fan of him, but I just think that type of ego takes a certain, you know, like you saw what he did to Atletico with the Champions League thing. He's like, how many you got? Like, he's the type of guy where it's like, he's coming for you. And that can ruffle feathers, right? I'm sure it ruffles feathers of people who don't win anything either. This team hasn't been asked to do a lot. So all of a sudden, new manager, Ronaldo comes in, expectations are high, and you can crumble. So this is maybe a little bit of that. And it's up to Rangnick to sort this out. So if Rangnick doesn't think that he needs to deal with this and he's aloof and overconfident, it's going to get worse.
It's
going to
get very bad.
So is there a possibility that some of this is true? Like, yeah, there's probably a grain of salt to it. So like, but Rangnick needs to be stamping this out, because what we're seeing from Luke Shaw and what we're seeing with this is like something's not right in the dressing room. And if it's not right in the dressing room, at least the bad performance is on the pitch. And holy shit, I've never seen a new manager come in and have it go this south this fast. So I'm kind of in denial that that's the case, but it could be the case. Like, he could have been the absolute worst manager to appoint. Honestly, like there's a possibility. I'm like, I'm not saying he is. But
no,
I'm
he could
like,
be.
If this is going this bad, this fast, and the locker room's going to turn on him within like 4 weeks, and two of those were on a COVID outbreak, like, then this is the worst managerial appointment of all time.
Nah, it can't be that bad. Doubt, nothing's ever that bad.
I don't think, my point is, I'm saying hypothetically, I don't think it's that. I think that this is just like probably a few disenfranchised players. This isn't the real deal. And like, everything will be fine. But like, is there a possibility that we're going to see this crater? Like, yeah. But dude, you've never seen stories like this happen this fast.
Ever. 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 A new appointment at a club that goes sour in a month?
This happened after Ole. Like, when this came out, it was like, Ole's going.
Right.
Right. It percolates, then it hits the press.
It hasn't gone anywhere. Like, it's basically just stayed around since Ole got fired, which is only a month ago, dude.
But that's why they're bluffers then.
Yeah.
So then the locker room is fucked. And then no matter who the manager is, it doesn't matter. And then that's a whole nother issue, right? And then it's like so the whole idea that, like, because we saw the new manager bounce at Ole, then Reina comes in and it's this, it's like, oh my God. So yeah, I'm kind of looking the other way. I'm going to try to not go like down this rabbit hole and just say, hey, it's a few bad apples. Let the results speak and let's see how the team does over the next month and then reassess. Because if it festers and gets worse, then yeah, this is some, some serious stuff going on here. Rangnick is not the right guy. I just do not believe that's the case because of how fast this is happening. I just think Rangnick's like a no nonsense guy, and players like want that. Like, they've had Ole Mr. Nice Guy for so long, and then Rangnick's like, all right, you got to do this. And
they're like, I don't want to do that.
Exactly. Yeah. It seems to me more of that.
So the players who are already leaving, who've wanted to leave for a while, because Pug has wanted to leave for 2 years, Lingard wanted to leave for a year and a half, it's like, who haven't been allowed to leave because of our like ridiculous transfer demands. They've been saying this shit for months, dude. They've probably been leaking this. It's only getting worse. And like, you have this guy come in who's a hard ass. Maybe not as mean as some of these coaches around, some of the coaches we've been attached to, but he's probably pretty demanding, right? He's probably pretty demanding.
He kind of strikes me not like, you know, that, like, obviously I'm going to say Conte. I know that's a trigger word for you, but it's like Conte seems to be the type of guy who would come in and be like really intense, and like Rangnick comes in and he's just kind of like, it, like, what strikes me is in the press, he just would tell you what to do, and he's not gonna like scream and yell and jump up and down and be like Mourinho or Conte at you. He's just gonna really just kind of be straight and blunt, and you know, this is it. And so yeah, I don't know. Again, this type, who knows at this point? Manchester United's wage bill, £250 million. I think, what is it? Shitty's at like 160. We're so high above everyone else. No, £227 million annual. Chelsea 162. Shitty 143. We pay our players £90 million more than Man Shitty. So money ain't gonna get the best out of them. Ole couldn't get the best out of them. Ralph Rangnick can't get the best out of them. So what do they need to want to play football?
Sir, I would enjoy the ride, bro. Like, go watch.
What do you get? What I'm saying?
Yeah, like, we're in real trouble, dude. Bro. We're in real trouble.
Like, what is it then? So it's like, that's a $4 billion answer. You can figure out how to make these players want to play football. But that article, it does piss me off a little bit. It's just like that, seeing that type of stuff. You just want the players to.
It's bad for the club. It's bad for the club. It's bad for the fans. It's bad for the players.
What do you do about that?
It's like, he would have rooted this shit out years ago, and he would have, I hope, called out the incompetence above. But so this is going to continue for a long time. Hopefully it doesn't get too much worse, but it could get a lot worse. So,
but there's an element Rangnick inherited this bullshit.
Of course he did.
Right?
You think he created this? No, dude. This place has been a shit show for fucking decades. Like, over a decade. Over a decade. And then 8 years of just like impressive incompetence. Like, Fergie kept it together, and then they just like, all right, Woody, you're up. And he, dude, since day one, 2013 transfer window was a fucking disaster. I can go through every single mistake they made. They made hundreds of mistakes. They're like, they're so bad at their job that it's absurd. It's obscene that they're still in their job. So that's why it's just like, so nothing changing. Ain't nothing changing those Glazers.
That wage is really like, that's so bad. You look at how much we're paying for this shit team. It's just horrible. We're going to jump in the January transfer window real quick. Just hitting the highlights. Romano came out. A lot of tweets going on. Obviously, January window opened on the 1st. Cavani is staying. He is not going to leave in January. Him and Rangnick spoke. Love that Cavani is staying, sir. Our favorite Ed Woodward puppet journalist, Andy Mitten. so you know he heard it directly from the Muppet's mouth. I wish you would ask him when he's going to quit. But essentially, Mitten says from Ed Woodward, you know, he gets it from there. No January signings expected from Manchester United. Now, if you listen to this podcast, you knew that before Andy Mitten told you, because we know this club ain't going to do nothing. They're not signing nobody. They're not worried about not having a midfield. They're not worried about not having center backs. They are not worried about winning football games. They care about money, sir. That is why, you know, we're not doing any business. The only business we're trying to do is sell, but we can't even do that. Romano reiterated Manchester United is focused on the next summer. Only injuries would motivate business in January. Manchester United requires all salaries to be paid in full for players to go out on loan. So that means Martial wants to go to Sevilla. They got to pay his wages. Romano says Sevilla can't afford his wages or the upfront loan fee. So obviously when we're trying to sell, we overquote people so we don't do deals. So Martial, he
ain't
stay.
Going nowhere, bro. He ain't
Jesse
going nowhere.
Jesse Lingard is talking to Newcastle. But again, running his contract down isn't his advantage. So again, he's going to run his contract down on us. Regarding Donny, Rangnick wants him to stay, but he could move. The club could be playing coy there. Pogba, he's going to wait until the summer to decide. And as far as midfielders, when asked, he said Dennis Zakaria could be a possible candidate for Manchester United if we needed a CDM. He plays in the Bundesliga. He is available. He is not going to sign a new deal, so that is a possibility. But again, like an injury to McTominay, according to Romano, could prompt a big injury to a midfielder, could prompt a deal. But, sir, we know there's an outside chance. If you had any sights of trying to get top four or making a move or supporting the new manager, you would be signing a new midfielder for Manchester United. We are dying for a midfielder. We're dying for a center back. We should be doing business in the summer. I mean, in the winter right now, just because we have to. We should have done it last summer, but most likely we won't. Now, if the club were going to do business, they would come out and say they're not going to do anything. So take that for what it's worth. Generally, January is disappointing as a Manchester United fan. I think opportunistic business could be done with clubs who have players who are running their contracts down, and we're just not taking advantage of that.
Well, it seemed like right now I'm more worried about the rot inside than I'm worried about bringing in like the next Haaland, dude. Because right now we need to get rid of these players that are leaking this shit. So
but you need replacements, dude.
I hear you, but right now it's like it's more important that you get these players that are just not even giving the new manager a chance and are obviously like not playing for the club for the badge. You have to get them out, like, because you can just fill their spots with academy players. So we have academy players, they can play. We might not finish in top four, but it's better than having like these players just like running wild, just laughing all year long. They're gonna be laughing at Manchester United. Sorry, it's bad for the brand. They should just give Jesse Lingard away, bro. Like, give Paul Pogba away. Be like, well, buy out your contract, just get the fuck out of here. You need them out, sir. Like, I'm not saying those two are the only, but like something is wrong, and like we need the cull. And I know we need talent. We've been dying for a CDM for years. We haven't bought one since arguably Matic. And Zakaria, he's out of contract. Sounds good to me. But like, you know, they're not buying one, sir. You know they're buying one. But we need to sell, and we need to get these players out. The players that are like don't want to be here and are making a stink, they need to leave, because this is going to be a long road uphill, and it's going to be. Dude, you know it's not going to be fun. So it's going to be running those hills. It's not going to be fun. And like the players need to be up for it. And some of these players aren't up for it, so get them out.
Sir, we knew it. Like, the lesson I learned when we sold Ronaldo in 08, or I forget whenever that was, or was it 09, was you sell players who don't want to be there. Players want to leave, you got to sell them. It's just the way football is. You know, it's just like sometimes you got to take a hit. Martial doesn't want to be at United, you got to sell him. You know, because the minute they don't want to be there, it's over. And they're just going to bring you down. And we like the article, 11 players want to leave. It's like, yeah, those players are bringing us down, dude. And it's like what Fergie did to protect the ethos of the locker room was get those players out, because that is a cancer to the mentality of wanting to win things with this club. And we are so far off it. I have to think the rot in the locker room is a big issue, but you need to replace players. If you're going to get rid of Martial, you need a striker, sir. If you're going to get rid of, like, obviously, if you're going to get rid of Modric, you're going to need another CDM, right? So the whole idea is, like, you're going to have to replace Modric. You probably arguably need another CDM or, like, another midfielder. Why not do one now? Why not make your business lighter in the summer? Because then you know we're going to be daylight dollar short, because you're going to have to sign two, and then everyone's going to know that. And so I just think you need to be opportunistic. You know, fine, you didn't get one in the summer. You made the Ronaldo deal, but now is time to get a midfielder because you're going to need it. Because Modric is going to go.
You know who we're talking about, sir. Of course we should, but they're not going to.
Yeah, but guess what?
They're fucking greedy bastard. They just took a $10 million dividend like yesterday. Or next week.
Ed Woodward's still here.
He hasn't, dude, they're liars. They're liars, and they will keep lying. And they ain't buying nobody, bro. Like, they ain't buying nobody because they have this huge fucking wage bill.
Ain't buying nobody.
Because we have buying a massive nobody. Wage bill we can't even turn over because they're so incompetent, sir. They've given deals
that
out.
Wage bill's
it's embarrassing, bro. And then you have players leaving for free you bought for $90 million. That is, like, the biggest laugh of all, bro. They paid £90 million for Paul Pogba, 5 years ago? 6 years, he's gonna like, ha ha ha, leave for free. That's like hilarious. 90 fucking million pounds, bro. That is an obscene amount of money.
They amortize that, though.
I know, but they still pay 90 million pounds over 6 years.
It's a non-cash expense.
I get it, but
okay. They only care about EBITDA. So from an accounting perspective, I know the money sounds high, but it's not that big of a deal to them at the end of the day. So
it's also like, it's bad for the brand, bro. You don't think that like sends a fucking shockwave to everyone? Like, this asshole left for 90 million. Like, that's bad for business. It makes us look like idiots.
No, dude, it's
Herrera leaving for free made us look like an idiot. Lingard not getting sold made us look like fucking fools.
clearly in the transfer market, Manchester United has not done a good job, because look how much money we spend. Look at what we're getting. It's the impossible puzzle. Nobody knows how to solve it. Nobody wants to come and touch it. Ryan is touching it. Break it. We're breaking. I'll tell you what. The state of Manchester United is we've broken Marcus Rashford. The state of Manchester United is we've broken Marcus Rashford. How is that possible?
So you talked about consistency.
He had back surgery.
You talked about consistency.
He's a great player.
Of course he is.
He's a great talent, and it's like he should be our number nine. Leading the line, Marcus Rashford, he should be the one scoring goals. Always should be. He's in his prime right now, and like for some reason, he's drowning, dude. He's got the frosted tips drowning.
So the best we saw him play was on the left wing anyway, and he's not in form, and ever since he hasn't been.
But you know what I mean. Like right now is when he should be. Like this age is when he should be hitting his stride, 20 goals a season.
Sir, you're talking about beginning of the season. Like what are we going to do without Mark? He has not been on form this year. And, you know, we've suffered, and that could be attributed. But we're just, dude, it's not clicking right now. And I think it's a big test against Aston Villa. Sir Rangnick, he's got to get it right, because Manchester United fans, we expect results, and everyone is in a piss-poor mood. But like you said, it's not as bad as it looks, but like, sir, we need to see some results, because Aston Villa is a big match under the lights Monday night.
So I think my take's been all over the place. I think my take has been, it is horrible, and it's not that bad. So I think that's how we all feel.
We're fans, yeah.
Yeah. We're giving you the biased fan take for the Cup, sir. We can't take it anymore. We just want to win that title. We just want to, like... You know what? It's bad when I'm talking to my friend who's a Scouse fan, lives in Austria, and you know, I said at least Shitty's winning the title, you know, because I don't have to worry about you equaling our record, you know, and it's like that's that bad,
bro. They're getting to 20 before we get to 21. I hate to break it to you, but they're getting to 20 before we get to 21, like all day.
No, but another runaway title year, that is bad for the league, dude. It's like bad. Like all I want to see is a competitive title, even if we're not in it. I just hate these runaway leagues. It's not good. It's like, it's just like the way it's shaping up. I can go on, but let's get into the rest of the transfer news. Twan Zabi, he's going to Napoli from Villa. Tendon Menji, he's about to get some much needed first team action on loan at Birmingham. Tahith Chong, he's injured, sir. So a lone watch there. And Ethan Laird will move out from Swansea to Bournemouth on loan. So I think Laird, upcomer, Menji, Tahith Chong, exciting times. They're getting some loan activity in January, as you expect, for the youngsters at Manchester United.
These are the players that there's value for, right? Teams want them, and they don't have stupid wages. You know, it's like easy to move a Twan Zabi, who's not on like £180,000 a week. Versus a Jones, for example, who did play well. But, you know, these are the players where there's interest, and they will move.
Wage structure is important, sir. Let's jump into fan questions. I bet we're going to have some spicy ones. At you, Boson, quote, every time I think we've reached the bottom, we seem to find another level of awful. The players really need to look themselves in the mirror. Phil Nesta Jones was the best player in the first half, and he hasn't played in 2 years. No excuses.
Sir, when Phil Jones is the best player on the field, it's a bad sign.
He's not the best player on the field. No, of course he's not the best player, but he played the best that day.
Like, he had the best performance.
He has this grit.
Tried hard.
He was brave, right? You know what I'm saying? Committed, like, just like 110% for the badge. Like, that type, like, so when Newcastle was 1-1, Rangnick just said, like, here's the schoolboy stuff we didn't do. Second balls, like, you know, all he was doing, all of that, working like a dog, putting in a shift, because he doesn't have the skills these other players in the field do, but he can like go out there and do those basic things, and he did it well. And for that to stand out in this team is almost like, you know, kind of like you Boson said, you know, that's a red flag when Phil Jones comes in and is outworking everybody, you know, looking better than Harry Maguire.
I think there's a reason that everyone's concerned, sir. I think
everyone's concerned.
Yeah, we're all fucking freaking out because we should be.
At M Hersey 5, speaking of freaking out, are we about to spiral out of control again? ... Only good player was Phil freaking Jones. Are we about... So, sir, next five league matches. Are we going to spiral out of control?
I don't think so, but we could.
Okay, if I pull them up here, I'm going to give them to you. Villa, West Ham, Burnley, Southampton, Leeds.
That's a great run.
How many points from those five league matches?
10. Because we're not in form.
That's not a spiral. That's not a spiral.
No, it's not. But Manchester, we're not spiraling now. We're not spiraling now. Well, it could be because those are just the next five games and we have another 20 plus to go. Or 20, I think it is just. But that's not spiraling either, bro. That's like you're still in it. You know, Arsenal will probably be ahead of you. So it's Spurs, your favorite, your boy Conte. I'm going to get you a Conte jersey, UV one. It's not spiraling, but you could still make a run the last 10 games and finish top four. It's just like, sir, our fans expect the best. The press are fucking like piratas in England, dude. All they do is go after United. They have nothing. All they do is just take whatever fucking stuff is given to them by clubs or agents. They do no investigative journalism. They're not like going after the Glazers and going through financials and being like, these are all the errors you make. They literally just regurgitate whatever bullshit is given to them by either players, the clubs, or agents. It's like the standard is low, and that's why we get this the same noise all the time.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, no one's talking about the wage bill, why they did it. Like, you know, we were talking that United, when they didn't have a lot of cash on the balance sheet, they favored these big wage kind of older, like get Cavani in on big wage deals instead of paying the upfront fees for strikers, like the Igalo, like it's doing the Igalo deal. So I do think that once we broke the wage structure with Sanchez, it created this culture and then it's kind of gone out of control. And how does United get out of the situation, right? No one's talking about the wage bill situation that we're currently in and how we reset that. And obviously you'd have to clean house, but you know, that would drive these types of dynamics, but instead it's just Rangnick's aloof, you know, or the players. There's a lot more going on at Manchester United. It's been 9 seasons. It will continue if things do not change from an ownership perspective. At Olsen Dillon, quote, at what point do former players and coaches just say, look at this club. It's going nowhere under the Glazers. They're the problem. I know there are other issues, but all stems from the Glazers. So many dead contracts that were re-upped, can't seem to get a cohesive unit, etc. Right on that point, how many deals were re-upped when they didn't need to be? You can count how many. It's unbelievable.
Dude, but we do. We fall privy to, I mean, we fall to the same trap. Not we, but fans, as the press. They all go after the easiest target, which is like the manager. It's like, dude, nobody goes after the Glazers. The press doesn't go after the Glazers. They don't touch them. They made a little noise. They made a little. Of course they do, dude. It's about power, control, money, always. And they want access so they can get inside info, so they can leak it early, money. They can make money. They can be important. More tweets, money. Sir, they're not going to say shit because, like, of course they're not going to say shit. They haven't said shit for 18 years.
Everyone says it, though, behind the scenes. I know it. If you had a beer with Romano, you'd be like, what do agents say about the Glazers? Everyone's laughing at
them. No, they are. They
Everyone's
are.
Laughing they are. At doing business with United. Everyone's like getting them to do bad business. Everyone
show,
knows.
Bro.
Exactly. Exactly. But like behind the scenes, the real talk is everyone knows that they are full of it. And like Ed Woodward is such a numpty that he doesn't even know that's happening. He's like, everyone thinks I'm great and I stopped the Super League. That's what Ed Woodward
thinks. No, he's a moron, dude. And they all know Manchester United is run by morons now. Because look at the transfer fees. Look at the fees we paid. Look at the fees that
and
we
the
are.
And the wages and the agents fees.
It's obscene, dude. It's
like crazy.
Mino Raiola paid him like $40 million just to like slag us off. Have a laugh.
At Mike United.
Wrap it up.
At Mike United Mets. I got another tweet for you, sir. This is a good one. Dude, it's from our boy Mike here. Glass half empty.
New photo, I like it.
Okay, we got a glass half empty, glass half full take here, sir. I'm trying to end on a positive. Glass half empty from Mike is performances haven't improved at all since Ole left, except for 20 minutes against Crystal Palace. Ten Hag in the summer should still be the end goal. Glass half full, first loss since November, and if Bruno finishes a sitter, we probably win. Uphill from here. Hashtag glory, glory, Man United. By the way, Mike is the most positive Manchester United fan I've ever met. It is true. We hit that goal.
We win that game.
Is it papering over the cracks?
Yes.
We probably don't have the drama in the press. Still matters for top four, sir. And at the end of the day, results can create momentum. But I do think Ten Hag in the summer, Ten Hag's, it's just like, you know, Ten Hag's the manager that we, like personally, I think Conte was the guy for this interim period. Ten Hag's the man for Manchester United. And, Rangnick's the director of football. They're going to bring in Poch, though.
Oh, they're gonna bottle this, dude. They'll fire Ragnick and they'll and they'll bring in Pochettino, dude. Like Ten Hag, of course, is the guy. Pochettino is like a speaking of a bluffer, bro. Find me a bigger bluffer. But it doesn't matter, man, because you're gonna have the same front office, and we're gonna fucking suffer. So I would say glass half full is we could have won today, totally. But like we're still
glass half full. Best fans in the world.
Best fans in the world. America Devils, baby.
Yeah, exactly. Look. A little pod therapy today. American Red Devils, Alex is feeling a little sick. I'm feeling a little sick, sir. So we had, you know, a little, I don't think we have COVID, but we had a little break, little sick break, only a day. Love the podcast.
Players get more time off, by the way. Did you hear that? They got 2 days off. That's absurd. Hey,
you know what?
I'll talk about us. I'll talk about them.
They need it, bro. Honestly.
They need something. They need like a ayahuasca. They need,
like, you know when you know when like you're all like angry at each other and then you like, go into the woods and like you do a bunch of trust falls and then you feel like a team.
They need that, bro.
They need like marshmallows around a campfire. This is America. Like this is kind of like whatever we did at camp when we were kids in the States. They need that. They need like the go into the ropes course and
that's Dubai. That's like Dubai training camp. They need Dubai training camp because we need something like some morale building. Like we're on tour.
Ronaldo puts his arm around Rashford and be like, "I like you, man." Yeah. And then they kind of smile. And then Rashford's like, and the next
time, like, "Don't eat that, bro. Don't eat that."
They score a goal and they're like, "Yeah, you know." It's like, and they're like all happy, like whatever that feeling is that you had at summer camp. You know, this team needs it. They need to like talk. And you know what's ironic? Sports psychologist is hanging out. How's that guy doing? Remember that? Sir, we got a sports psychologist. What's he up to?
I know. I heard we have a set piece coach too. We haven't scored a set piece goal all season.
Maybe you need a podcast coach.
Definitely.
Hire us if you're listening. Look, that's the podcast. American Red Devils is for fans, by fans. It's a hot one today. Spicy pod, sir. Sick pod. We're probably running at 70%, but the banter's running at 130. Let's go. You want to support the podcast? Check us out on Patreon, www.patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. Best way you can support us and support independent fan content. No sponsors here, just us for the fans, sir. That's what it's all about. Check out our Discord as well. You can get the link on Twitter, write a review on iTunes or Spotify, wherever you listen. Check out our website, www.americaredevils. We also have great merch there. You can support us. Again, this is the best community, sir. It's amazing how great the fans have been through the ups and the downs. It has been crazy. I mean, it's almost like this podcast is cursed because every time since we started, sir, we're not winning nothing. But I'll tell you what, the ride has been great because, you know, this community, the fans have been incredible.
Couldn't do it without the fans. I don't think we're winning anything anytime soon, sir. I think that curse is going to continue. Great Bambino, 30 years. But the community is strong. American Red Devils around the world, we appreciate you. We appreciate this club. We know this club will be back, sir. Hey, man, 70s, we got relegated. We could go 30 years, and I would be no hard feelings at all because we had the sweetest of sweets, bro. We basically won a title every other year as long as Fergie was a title. Excuse me, was the manager. 13 in 27 is absurd. Absurd. So it's like we had it as good as you get it, and we're going to have it for shit for a while. So I think just enjoy the history, enjoy the fans. And fuck the Glazers, bro. Glazers out. That's it.
I'm going to say next 5 seasons, are we in a cup final?
Yeah, finally. Europa League, bro. Let's go.
No, I'm saying obviously we think like losing Europa League is bad, but like in another 5, are we like, oh, remember when De Gea missed that penalty? Like, because it could get worse where you're like, you're not even in cup finals. You know, it's like this one.
You're gonna be like looking forward to like making. Like, I think we got the Carabao in us this year. You know, like City got dropped out early. I think we got a chance. Like
Carabao, baby.
Like, dude, fucked, bro. Are you fucking kidding me? Joel Glazer is like a moron. He's a moron, bro. Ed Woodward is a bigger moron, and the new Ed Woodward is just as big. Dude, we're in trouble. So just like I would say, watch the old games, relive 99, 08. Moscow, hell of a game. Rewatch Ronaldo's.
No, we got a team now, and we got a good manager. And you're always gonna have rocky patches.
You gotta be patient.
You know, so you know, this is what happens: is like new manager. Usually, you get like 10 matches is like Goldilocks. You kind of get that balance, and then you have a patch with Rangnick, 30 minutes. Now we have a patch, and it's like however you survive that patch is however it's gonna go. So you know, I think it's a really important time right now for United, and we'll see, sir. But you got a great song, sir. That's the pod. We're going to leave you guys. And Aston Villa FA Cup, baby. It's a piece of silver we're going to lift.
Sayer, it's a big match. We are Manchester United. We have seen it all. We have won the lot. Take you out with that, sir. Good times ahead. 2022. Here we go. Let's go, boys.
Happy New Year, everybody.